In the highest mountain range on Earth, folded into the deep valleys and steep ridges of the eastern Himalayas, lies a small and quiet kingdom. For centuries, it remained a mystery to the outside world, a nation intentionally shielded by its formidable geography and its own deliberate choice. It is a land of clean air, of ancient forests, of rivers the color of glacial melt, and of a silence that is broken only by the wind, the call of a raven, or the distant chime of a monastery bell. This is Bhutan, the last Himalayan kingdom, known to its people as Drukyul, the land of the thunder dragon. From the air, it appears as a formidable landscape of green and white, a seemingly endless ocean of mountains, their peaks scraping the sky. It is a vertical world where flat land is a precious rarity, and where life has adapted to the contours of the earth with patience and ingenuity. The very air here feels different, thin, crisp, and carrying the scent of pine and damp earth. But to look closer is to discover a society built not on the conquest of the landscape, but on a deep and abiding harmony with it. This is a nation where success is measured not by material wealth, but by collective happiness, where ancient traditions are not relics of the past, but the living, breathing fabric of the present, and where spirituality is woven into the very warp and weft of daily existence. This is the story of a people whose lives are shaped by the mountains that protect them, the faith that guides them, and the quiet strength of a community that holds them together. This is the story of life in Bhutan. Life in Bhutan is governed by the rhythm of the seasons and the steady, unhurried pace of the mountains. The population is small, less than 1 million people, scattered across a country the size of Switzerland. This fosters a profound sense of intimacy and interconnectedness. In the small towns and villages that form the heart of the nation, anonymity is an unfamiliar concept. Life is lived in public, among faces that have been known since birth, connected by intricate webs of family and shared history. Even in the capital city, Thimphu, which nestles in a long, narrow valley, the atmosphere is more of an overgrown town than a bustling metropolis. It is a capital city with no traffic lights, where policemen direct the modest flow of vehicles with graceful, stylized hand gestures from a decorated booth in the center of an intersection, a human touch in a world of automation. The landscape itself dictates the structure of life. Villages are often clustered on the rare patches of gentle slope, their houses built to withstand the elements and to reflect a deep cultural aesthetic. Traditional Bhutanese architecture is a defining feature of the kingdom. Sturdy, timber-framed houses with brightly painted window frames, sloping roofs, and a distinctive inward-sloping profile. These homes are not just shelters. They are sanctuaries of family life, often housing multiple generations under one roof. The walls are constructed from rammed earth or stone, providing insulation against the cold winters and the summer heat. The intricate wooden cornices and window frames are painted with traditional motifs, dragons, flowers, and auspicious symbols, each telling a story. The day begins early, not with the sound of traffic, but with the first light touching the mountain peaks, the low chant of a morning prayer, or the crowing of a rooster. Life moves with a deliberate, mindful quality, a pace that seems to be set by the mountains themselves, ancient, patient, and enduring. The cornerstone of Bhutanese society is the family and the village. In the rural communities, where the majority of the population still lives, daily life is a collective endeavor, anchored in the cycles of agriculture. The routines are simple, dependable, and tied to the earth. For farmers, the day is a conversation with the land. It begins with tending to the livestock, a cow for milk, a few chickens for eggs, and then moves to the fields. Depending on the altitude and the season, this could mean planting rice in the meticulously terraced paddies of the lower valleys, a back-breaking process of transplanting bright green seedlings by hand into the flooded earth. In higher valleys like Bumthang, it means harvesting potatoes or buckwheat, their pale flowers a stark contrast to the deep green of the surrounding forests. The family unit is strong and resilient, with grandparents, parents, and children often living and working together. This creates a powerful support system where wisdom is passed down from one generation to the next, not in classrooms, but in the fields and around the hearth. Grandparents care for the young children, telling them ancient stories of demons and saints, while the parents manage the heavy work of the farm. Homes are centers of warmth and activity. The kitchen is the heart of the house, a place for cooking, for sharing meals, and for gathering on cold nights around a traditional wood-burning stove, the bukhari. The air is thick with the smell of wood smoke and the bubbling of the day's meal. This inherent closeness extends beyond the family to the entire village. Community life is built on an unspoken understanding of mutual responsibility. When it is time to plant or harvest, families work on each other's fields in turn, a system that ensures no one is left behind. When a new house is built, the entire village comes together to help, a practice known as Tiesa Dronam. Men work on the heavy timber framing and stone masonry, while women carry materials and provide food and drink for the workers. The air is filled with a spirit of cooperation and celebration. There is a deep-seated belief that the well-being of the individual is inseparable from the well-being of the community. This interdependence is not seen as a burden, but as a source of strength and security, a social safety net woven from generations of shared experience and mutual trust. To understand Bhutan is to understand the central role of Vajrayana Buddhism. It is not simply a religion. It is the foundation of the nation's identity, its culture, its laws, and its art. The landscape is dotted with sacred sites, monasteries perched precariously on cliffs, ancient temples, and small shrines known as chortens that house religious relics. Prayer flags are a ubiquitous and beautiful sight, their five colors representing the five elements: blue for the sky, white for the air, red for fire, green for water, and yellow for the earth. They are strung across bridges, on high mountain passes, and from the roofs of houses, carrying prayers and blessings on the wind, the mantras on them slowly fading as they release their goodwill into the world. The spiritual and administrative heart of each district is the Dzong, a magnificent and imposing fortress monastery. These architectural marvels, built without a single nail or architectural plan, serve as the center of government, the head of the local monastic body, and a symbol of Bhutanese identity. Inside their high, whitewashed walls, monks in saffron and crimson robes perform ancient rituals that have remained unchanged for centuries, their deep guttural chants echoing through the courtyards. These are not museums. They are living, working centers of faith and governance. This spiritual heritage is a living tradition. Monks are a respected and integral part of every community. Families often send one of their sons to a monastery, considering it an honor and a way to accumulate merit. The national dress, is another powerful and visible symbol of this unique identity. Men wear the go, a knee-length robe tied at the waist with a belt called a kira, forming a large pouch at the front, used for carrying everything from a mobile phone to a small bowl. Women wear the kira, an elegant floor-length rectangular cloth wrapped around the body and secured at the shoulders with ornate brooches, often worn with a silk jacket called a toigo. It is not a costume for special occasions. It is everyday attire worn with pride in schools, government offices, and on the street. This shared cultural language is a cornerstone of the national philosophy of gross national happiness, a unique development model that prioritizes the well-being of the people, based on the four pillars of sustainable development, environmental protection, cultural preservation, and good governance over pure economic growth. For generations, the Bhutanese economy was almost entirely self-sufficient, based on subsistence farming and barter. Today, while agriculture remains the primary occupation for the majority of the population, the economy is slowly and carefully modernizing. In the high-altitude regions, like the remote village of Laya, yak herding is a way of life. The Layaps, a semi-nomadic people, move their herds to different pastures depending on the season. Their lives a testament to human adaptation in an extreme environment. The yak provides everything. Meat, milk for cheese and butter, thick wool for clothing and tents, and its strength for transport. In the fertile lower valleys, rice is the staple crop. Its cultivation, a demanding, labor-intensive process that shapes the entire year. The largest driver of the modern economy is hydropower. The country's fast-flowing rivers, fed by Himalayan glaciers, are a source of clean, renewable energy, the vast majority of which is sold to neighboring India, providing the government with its primary source of revenue. This income funds the country's free education and healthcare systems, cornerstones of the gross national happiness philosophy. Government jobs are highly sought after, providing stability and a good salary in a country with limited private sector opportunities. Tourism is another important, though carefully managed, sector. Bhutan has famously pursued a policy of high-value, low-impact tourism. A mandatory sustainable development fee for visitors ensures that the number of tourists remains manageable, preventing the kind of over-tourism that has affected other parts of the world. This approach aims to protect the country's unique culture and pristine environment while generating revenue that benefits local communities. It means that those who visit are often deeply interested in the culture and their interactions are more meaningful. Alongside these larger sectors, a small but growing number of entrepreneurs are starting their own businesses, from guest houses and restaurants to small-scale craft production of textiles and incense, slowly diversifying the economic landscape. Bhutanese food is a direct reflection of its mountain environment. Hearty, simple, and often intensely spicy. The cuisine is built around a few core ingredients that can be grown in the challenging climate. The undisputed national dish, eaten every day in almost every household, is ema dachi. The name is simple. Ema means chili, and dachi means cheese. It is a fiery, stew-like curry made from hot chilies, sometimes split lengthwise, sometimes chopped, and a local farmer's cheese that melts into a creamy, pungent sauce. It is a dish that warms the body and soul in the cool mountain air. Chilies are not used as a seasoning in Bhutan. They are treated as a vegetable. At any local market, from the large centenary farmers market in Thimphu to a small village gathering, you will see piles of red and green chilies, both fresh and dried. The air is thick with their sharp, earthy scent. Red rice is the staple grain, a nutritious, nutty-flavored variety that grows in the high altitudes. It forms the base of almost every meal, served alongside one or two stew-like dishes. Its pinkish hue and firm texture are a perfect counterpoint to the rich, spicy curries. Other common ingredients include potatoes, turnips, and buckwheat, which is used to make noodles and savory pancakes, especially in the Bumthang region. Pork is a favored meat, often cooked with giant white radishes in a dish called faksha pa. The traditional drink is suja or butter tea, a salty, savory beverage made by churning tea, salt, and yak butter together. It is an acquired taste for outsiders, but for the Bhutanese, it provides warmth and vital calories for a hard day's work in the mountains. Food culture is centered in the home. Meals are a simple, communal affair, a time for family to gather, share the food that they have often grown themselves, and reconnect at the end of the day. To live in Bhutan is to live in intimate, daily contact with nature. The landscape is not a backdrop. It is an active and powerful presence. The country is one of the few in the world that is carbon negative, meaning its vast forests absorb more carbon dioxide than the country produces. The constitution mandates that at least 60% of the country must remain under forest cover for all time, a testament to the nation's deep commitment to environmental preservation. This is not just a policy. It is a reflection of the Buddhist belief in the sacredness of all life. Life is lived outdoors. For centuries, the only way to travel between valleys was on foot, along a network of trails that crisscross the country. Hiking and walking are not just recreational activities. They are a fundamental part of life. These trails lead through dense pine and rhododendron forests, across high mountain passes adorned with prayer flags, and down into serene, hidden valleys. The experience of walking these paths is immersive. The springy feel of pine needles underfoot, the sudden reveal of a snow-capped peak, the sound of a distant monastery horn. The landscape is varied and dramatic. In the south, subtropical forests are home to a rich diversity of wildlife, including tigers, elephants, and the rare golden langur. In the central valleys, rivers have carved out fertile basins where rice terraces climb the hillsides like giant green staircases. In the north, one finds the high Himalayas, a world of alpine meadows, glacial lakes, and towering, snow-covered peaks that are considered the sacred abode of the gods. Here, in villages that are among the highest human settlements on Earth, life is a testament to human resilience. The connection to this land is profound. It is a source of sustenance, a place of spiritual power, and an integral part of the Bhutanese identity. For all its timeless qualities, Bhutan is a country in transition. For centuries, its geography enforced its isolation. Today, a network of roads, painstakingly carved into the mountainsides, connects the major towns. Travel is slow and often arduous. A journey of 100 kilometers can take several hours as the road twists and turns, climbs high passes, and descends into deep valleys. Landslides during the monsoon season can close roads for days, a constant reminder of the power of nature. These journeys, however, are part of the experience, marked by stops for tea at small roadside stalls and breathtaking views at every turn. Modernization is most visible in the capital, Thimphu. Here, one finds a growing number of modern buildings, restaurants and shops, all still required to incorporate traditional architectural elements. The internet and the smartphone have become a part of daily life, connecting even remote villages to the outside world. This influx of technology and global culture presents one of the central paradoxes of modern Bhutan. It is now possible to see a monk in ancient robes checking his messages on a smartphone, or to find young people in a traditional village wearing the latest global fashions alongside their goes and kiras. This blending of the old and the new is a defining feature of contemporary Bhutanese life. The country was one of the last in the world to introduce television and the internet, doing so only in 1999. The government and the people are engaged in a constant, thoughtful negotiation. How to embrace the benefits of modernity, such as improved healthcare and education, without sacrificing the unique culture and traditions that define them. It is a delicate dance between preservation and progress. For the young people of Bhutan, life is a unique blend of ancient tradition and global influence. Education is a high priority for the government and is provided free to all citizens. The school system is a bridge between two worlds. The curriculum is modern, taught in English, preparing students for a connected world. Yet the traditional language, Dzongkhar, is also taught, and students wear a version of the national dress as their uniform, instilling a strong sense of cultural identity from a young age. In the mornings, schoolyards across the country echo with the sound of the national anthem, a reminder of their shared heritage. For many young people, growing up in a small, remote village, the path to higher education or employment leads to the larger towns, particularly Thimphu. This migration is a modern rite of passage, a journey from the quiet, predictable world of the village to the more dynamic and complex environment of the city. It is a time of new opportunities, but also of new challenges, as they learn to navigate a world that is faster and more individualistic than the one they left behind. The great task for Bhutan's youth is to navigate this dual reality. They are connected to global youth culture through their smartphones, listening to the same music, and watching the same movies as their peers around the world. At the same time, they are deeply rooted in a culture of family, community, and Buddhist values. They are expected to uphold Driglam Namja, the traditional code of etiquette that governs how one should behave, dress, and interact with others. The challenge for the nation is to create enough meaningful opportunities for its educated young people so they can build a future at home, contributing their skills and global perspectives to the country's continued, careful evolution. The rhythm of day and night in Bhutan is a study in simplicity and quietude. The day begins with the sun, and for most people, it is a time of work and activity. In the monasteries, the day starts before dawn with the sound of a gong or a horn, calling the monks to morning prayers. In the villages, farmers are in their fields, making the most of the daylight hours. The towns come to life slowly, with shops opening and people going about their business with a calm, unhurried demeanor. The energy is productive and grounded, a reflection of a society that lives close to the land and understands the value of hard work. As evening approaches, a profound sense of peace descends. When the sun drops behind the high mountain peaks, darkness falls quickly and completely. Life turns inward. The towns and villages become still. The sounds of the day are replaced by the gentle murmur of a river, the chirping of insects, or the whisper of the wind through the pines. This is a time for home, for family. It is a time for sharing the evening meal, for conversation, for prayer. In many homes, the evening includes a small ritual, the lighting of a butter lamp as an offering for the benefit of all sentient beings. The quiet nights are a cherished part of life, a time for rest and reflection, a time to restore the body and spirit, ready for the new day. Life in this serene and beautiful kingdom is not without its challenges. The geography, while stunning, presents formidable obstacles. The mountainous terrain makes farming difficult and limits the amount of arable land. Building and maintaining infrastructure like roads and power lines is a constant and costly battle against the elements. Many remote communities are still accessible only by foot, hours, or even days from the nearest road, making access to healthcare and markets a significant struggle. The economy, while growing, is small and has a narrow base, heavily reliant on hydropower sales to India. Creating enough jobs for a growing, well-educated young population is a significant and ongoing concern. The careful, high-value approach to tourism, while successful in preserving culture, also limits the potential for economic growth in that sector. Bhutan is also highly vulnerable to the effects of climate change. Its glaciers are melting at an alarming rate, increasing the risk of catastrophic glacial lake outburst floods, which could devastate entire valleys with little warning. And perhaps the most profound challenge is the one that lies at the heart of the modern Bhutanese experience, the delicate act of balancing the old and the new. How does a nation preserve its unique cultural identity, its spiritual depth, and its communal values in the face of an increasingly interconnected and globalized world? These are the questions that Bhutan is thoughtfully and collectively navigating as it charts its course in the 21st century. So why do people choose to stay? In a world that offers endless possibilities, what keeps them rooted in this small, remote kingdom? The answers are found not in what Bhutan has, but in what it is. They stay for the unshakable sense of community, for the security of knowing you belong to a place where people genuinely care for one another, where a problem for one family is a problem for the whole village. They stay for the peace, for the pervasive quiet that allows for a deeper connection to oneself and to the world. They stay for the safety, for the freedom to walk anywhere at any time, and for their children to grow up in an environment of trust and security. They stay for the profound spiritual heritage that gives meaning and context to life, a framework of compassion and mindfulness that is woven into the fabric of society. And above all, they stay for the deep, unbreakable connection to their home, to a landscape that is not just scenery, but a sacred and living part of their identity. It is the feeling of being part of a story that is ancient, unique, and still unfolding. Bhutan exists in a rare and beautiful equilibrium, a balance between the ancient and the modern, between the spiritual and the practical, between the needs of the individual and the well-being of the community. It is a country shaped by the formidable power of the Himalayas and the gentle, enduring strength of the Buddhist faith. Here, life is measured not in the rush of minutes, but in the passing of seasons, not in the accumulation of wealth, but in the richness of family and community. It is a living testament to the idea that a nation can choose its own path, a path guided by wisdom, compassion, and a profound respect for the earth. In a world that is constantly searching for happiness, Bhutan offers a quiet reminder that perhaps it is not something to be pursued, but something to be cultivated together in the stillness of the mountains.